Quarter on. Okay, good morning, everyone. It's so great to once again be able to learn together, and I want to thank you all for coming on. I apologize if I kicked you off a previous chat and you had to join again. We will fix that in the future as we continue to figure all of this out. But again, I want to welcome everyone and thank everyone, and it's so great to learn together with everyone, those who I can see and those who I can only see your faces. It's nice to see your faces as well. Today we're learning chapter 67 of Tehillim. Now, I must say that I chose this randomly, and that just shows my ignorance, but there's nothing random about this Perek Tehillim. This has happened now to us numerous times where we've chosen a chapter of Tehillim, and lo and behold, it was the perfect chapter. And I promise you, I picked this out of a hat, chapter 67, and it could not have been more perfect. And the reason why it cannot be more perfect is because this is the chapter of Tehillim that is recited every night, according to many people, when we say Sfiras Omer, as we count the Omer. And so just to give you a little bit of a foreshadow into what makes this chapter of Tehillim so spectacular, I want to just read to you a couple of excerpts, if I could find them, because I had them printed out. And here we go. I want to read you a couple of excerpts that'll show you just how big this is. These are from a Hasidic Sefer that my dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Rael Blumenthal, shared with me. And he writes here the following. If I wanted to collect all of the skulos, all of the wonderful things, all of the beneficial aspects of this chapter of Tehillim and collect it in one place, he says, I would need an entire volume just to tell you how incredible this chapter of Tehillim is. Now, obviously, we have to figure out what makes this chapter of Tehillim so incredible. And I have to be honest with you that I struggled with this a lot. And I actually debated with Rabbi Blumenthal on the phone last night because I said, I get why it's such a beautiful Perek Tehillim, but when you use words like that, and if you look at Kabbalistic and Hasidic thought, this chapter of Tehillim is the pinnacle. This is the ultimate chapter of Tehillim when it comes to skulas for Parnassa, and we'll see in a second some more of the language. It's absolutely incredible. And so I struggled a little bit with what makes this chapter of Tehillim so amazing. And I want to share with you today just a couple of other skulos. Wait, we all love a skula. We all love quick fixes in Judaism. He writes here, Kol mi she'yira zeh mizmor b'chol yom, mitzuyir kitzuras menorah. We'll see that in a second. Anyone who views this chapter of Tehillim in the image of a menorah, right? Think about what a menorah is. It's three and one in the middle. So you have three, one in the middle, and three. Okay? Anyone who views this chapter of Tehillim as a menorah, yimtzachein v'seichel tov b'nei Elohim, you'll essentially find favor in God's eyes. V'im hu mitzuyir ha'aron ha'kodesh, yagein ba'ad gezeirah lakal. And if you put this image on an Aron Kodesh, or near an Aron Kodesh, Yagein Ba'ad Gezeira Ra'akal. It protects the community from evil decrees. And that's why, to this day, if you go in, for example, many Sephardi shuls, you will see this chapter of Tehillim in the shape of a menorah. Now, you probably saw the menorah previously and didn't realize that the menorah was put to the shape, or this Tehillim was put to the shape of a menorah, and we have to figure out why. What is it about a menorah? And what is it about this Perek of Tehillim, which is Yagein Ba'ad Gezer Ra'akal, which protects the entire Jewish people from a wicked evil decree? We could all use that right now. He continues on, quoting other sources. Kol mi shemispal loso. Everyone who says this chapter of Tehillim, B'chol yom b'nei tzachama. You get up, and at sunrise, as you're looking outside, if you say this chapter of Tehillim, Lo yikra lo shum gezer ra. No evil decree will befall you. We're learning chapter 67. No evil decree will befall you at all. V'yechashuv lifnei borei olam yisparach. And you will be chashuv before Hashem. You will be important in God's eyes. Ki'ilu hu madlik neiros bebeis hamikdash. Saying this chapter of Tehillim, says the Sfarim, HaKadoshim, the Kabbalists, is the equivalent of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And it'll guarantee you that you will be worthy of the world to come. Again, what is it about this chapter of Tehillim? You and I, this is about our 40th class. We're actually going to do a celebration for our 50th class. But you and I have been studying 40 Prakim of Tehillim right now. We have never, we've seen some pretty powerful ones, 130, 121, right? All the famous ones. And not once have we seen language like this. And yet here, chapter 67, we'll see a very short chapter, right? All of a sudden is going to, we talk in very, very flattering terms. Protects you from a gezeirah, from an evil decree. It guarantees you to the world to come. It's as if you lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, right? All of these amazing things. One last thing. As we referenced, many have the custom, it's in all of our Siddurim, to say this nightly after Sfiras Omer. Says the Sfarim, V'chol Omer oso acher birchas konim baboker. And after Sfiras Omer at night, we'll see the connection to birchas konim. Lo yikra lo shum nezek b'chol hashana kula. No harm will befall you. This is money back guaranteed skula that is going to protect you. And you will ultimately be successful. So what in the world is it about this chapter of Tehillim which offers such confident guarantees? Which again, we've studied 40 chapters of Tehillim, not once have we seen a guarantee like this form of a guarantee. And so what I want to do with you today is study it. We're not going to do what we normally do, which is go into the Mefarshim. I really want to keep a peripheral understanding of it because I think that if we get caught in the weeds, we won't understand this chapter at 40,000 feet. And 40,000 feet, in my mind, is exactly where this chapter should be most appreciated. So let's jump right in. I'm actually going to share my screen for those of you who are on Zoom. If you're on Facebook Live, you're not going to be able to see this right now. But again, it's chapter 67. And the reason why I'm going to share my screen is because I think, and I just have to figure out which screen I want to share with you, because I think that by doing so, here we go, because I think by doing so, you'll get a greater appreciation for what exactly this chapter looks like, okay? Now, you'll notice immediately that there's a symmetry to this chapter, and that, to me, holds the whole key. So pay attention to symmetry, and whenever you have repetition, it's always because it's leading you to something else. So you'll notice a lot of repetition. Let's just go through the words very quickly. Lam natseach b'neginos mizmor shir. You'll notice right off the bat that this is a unique chapter of Tehillim in the fact that there are four languages of musical instruments. Very rare in Tehillim. Lam natseach, b'neginos, mizmor, and shir are all four languages of song. What does that teach us? Again, many different suggestions, many different interpretations. But to me, most simply, what it means is sometimes you just have to start singing, right? Sometimes life circumstances don't put you in the mood for singing, and sometimes you just have to get up there and start singing your song. And if you sing your song, that'll lead to amazing things. Even when life is so difficult, even when there are challenges all around us, we have to overwhelm ourselves with song, with positivity, and with connection to Hashem, as we'll see in a second. Pasuk number two, Elohim. Yichanenu vivarchenu, ya'er panav itanu sela. Right, you'll notice a lot of these words right off the bat. Hashem, yichanenu, give us chen. Chen, says Rav Hirsch, means a certain sense of wisdom, an ability to appreciate you and to understand you. Elohim, yichanenu vivarchenu, and bless us. Ya'er panav itanu, Hashem, may you show favor to us. Now you'll notice, again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to recognize that all three of those words, Yichanenu, Yivarchenu, and Ya'er Panav, are straight out of the playbook of Berchas Kohanim. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha v'yaseim, right? All of these languages are right out of Berchas Kohanim. What is the connection to Berchas Kohanim? And more importantly, what you'll notice is the differences between Birchas Kohanim and what we're doing right here. What is Birchas Kohanim? So if you're a Kohen, Birchas Kohanim is a very active experience. If you are a Yisrael, like I am, Birchas Kohanim is actually a very passive experience, right? The Kohen gets up there, he gives the bracha, I sit there in the pews, and my job is very simple. All I have to do is accept the bracha. All I have to do is be focused enough to accept the bracha. Here you'll notice something very different, and this is an enormous key to the entire chapter of Tehillim. What are we asking Hashem to do? Yechanenu vivarchenu. We're asking Hashem to give us blessing. Okay? In other words, we are the ones who are initiating that blessing. By us coming to Hashem and beseeching Him for the bracha, that in and of itself becomes a conduit for the bracha. We have to initiate it. And our lacking of initiation will simply not warrant the bracha. We approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take that initiative. We come before Hashem and say, Hashem, give us chayin. Give us bracha. Show your countenance unto us. Why? Why is this all so important to us? Says the next pasuk, Ladas ba'aretz darkecha, b'chol goyim yishuasecha. Why do we want all of these brachos, Hashem? So that the nations of the world will come to know you. Ladas. So they'll come to know you. If you think about the story of Mitzrayim, we just read on Pesach, the whole point was Laman Yedu. So that the whole nations of the world would come to know Hashem. Hashem, we say, if you bless your people, if you give us chayin in bracha, in Ya'er Panav, then the entire world, Ladas ba'aretz darkecha, b'chol goyim yishuasecha, we will be the conduit. We will be the mechanism to bring geula, to bring redemption, to bring an awareness of you to the entire world. Pasuk 4, Yoducha amim Elohim, Yoducha amim kulam. Then everyone will come to know you, to recognize you. Yoducha amim kulam. Everyone will come to know you, Hashem. Of course, we know that in Judaism, Yoducha, Ladas, to know Hashem, isn't just an intellectual awareness. In the Torah, when it refers to marital intimacy, it refers as Das, as they knew each other. It didn't just mean that they know each other. I know you, right? I know Rita Rubin. I know Penny Perlman, right? That's not what it means. Das in the Torah is much more of an intimate form of an awareness, right? So when we say Ladas ba'aretz darkecha, Yoducha amim Elohim, that they'll praise you, right? It means that they have an intimate awareness of you, Hashem. It means that they see you all around them. It's not just that they intellectually know you, but that they know you in their kishkas. They see you everywhere and in everything. Pasuk 5, Yismechu, V'yiranenu, Le'umim kisishpot amim mishur, U'le'umim ba'aretz tanchem sela. This pasuk means that the nations, when they see your system of divine justice, Hashem, when they see that you reward those who are faithful to you and punish those who betrayed you, that's going to lead them to a greater awareness of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoducha amim Elohim. Yoducha amim kulam. Right? Again, the people will praise you and everyone's going to praise you. You'll notice that is the exact same as Pasuk 4. I don't have to be a poet to know that when you have two exact same psukim with a different pasuk in the middle, that's essentially poetry's way of shining a flashlight on the pasuk in the middle. And that, what I just shared with you, holds the key to the entire chapter. And we'll get to that in a second. Pasuk 7, right? We've been asking Hashem for bracha. We've been asking Hashem for bracha so that the entire world can come to an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that through us, and through the world seeing our success and our blessing, the entire world will come to an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about the end of the days. We're talking about the Geula. We're talking about Gog u'Magog, the time of Mashiach. And what is the bracha that we want? Pasuk 7, Eretz Nasna Yivula, a land that yields its produce. Yivarchenu Elohim Eloheinu, Hashem, please bestow bracha upon us. It's actually this pasuk which caught my eye before everything else, before all the skulas and before all the other amazing parts of this Perakat Tehillim. It was this pasuk that drew my attention, because when we talk about Eretz Nasna Yivula, a land that yields its produce, I was thinking about it yesterday on Yom HaTzmud. When you think about 2,000 years, that there were people who inhabited the land of Israel, none of them successfully. None of them were successful in making the land sprout. None of them were successful in causing irrigation and vegetation and the success that we have seen over the last 72 years. So when we talk about the success of Israel, when we talk about an Eretz Nasna Yevula, a land that yields its produce, that is the bracha of Hashem. That's Yivarchenu Elohim Eloheinu. That is the fulfillment of Hashem giving us bracha. And it's actually that pasuk which led me this chapter of Tehillim. And then lastly, Yivarchenu Elohim V'yir'u Oso Kol Afsei Aretz. Hashem, may you bless us. V'yir'u Oso Kol Afsei Aretz. And in that, through us being blessed, so all of the nations of the world will come to fear you. Now, that is, again, a cursory reading of this chapter of Tehillim. What do you notice immediately? So you notice immediately that there are 8 psukim in the chapter of Tehillim, but minus that first introductory pasuk, there are actually 7 psukim. So you have 2, 3, and 4, 6, 7, and 8, and then 5 smack in the middle. It's a chiastic structure. And whenever you have that sort of a setup, it's always leading you to the center. So pasuk 2 corresponds with pasuk 8, pasuk 3 with pasuk 7, pasuk 4 with pasuk 6, which are the exact same as each other, and then smack dab in the middle is this notion that when the nations of the world see the way that you, Hashem, treat those who are faithful to you, that is what's going to lead them to that great awareness of you. So that pasuk 5 is really the most important pasuk here in the entire chapter. Now, I'm going to come back to this in a second, but I just want to show you here on my screen. This is what many of you have probably seen in a shul. Again, most often I see them in Sephardi shuls. I don't oftentimes see them in Ashkenazi shuls. But here you go. You notice here immediately that on the top is Lamnatseach Niginos Mizmor Shir, right? That opening pasuk. And then if you look, you have each branch of the menorah is another pasuk. Elohim Yechanenu Vivarchenu Ya'er Panav Itanu Sela Ladas Ba'aretz Arkecha Yoducha Mim Elohim Yish, right? What is that middle pasuk? I can't read it there. Right? Yivarchenu Yismichu V'Yiranenu Leumim Yoducha Mim Eretz Nasna Yivula Yivarchenu Elohim. So those 7 psukim essentially create the 7 branches of the menorah, with the Yismichu Yiranenu Leumim. That middle pasuk is the pasuk that stands in the middle of the menorah, right? So in addition to this just being beautiful imagery, and obviously while we oftentimes refer to Tehillim as poetry, Tehillim is also artwork, right? It's a form of art. Most often it's a form of poetic art, but it's a form of art nonetheless. And so here you have the 3 psukim on one side, the 3 psukim on the other side, and that penultimate pasuk, that of Yismichu v'Yiranenu Leumim Kisishpot Amim Mishur, that pasuk is right smack dab in the middle. And so I want to unpack all of this with you today, and I want to help us understand exactly why this chapter is so significant, what makes it so significant, and why it is that we read this every day with Sfiras Omer. So I want to go backwards. I want to start with Sfiras Omer and then come back to the menorah, because I think that's the clearest way that we can do this. But before I get to Sfiras Omer, actually, I want to talk about Birchas Kohanim, right? Birchas Kohanim, there's an unmistakable resemblance between our chapter here. I'm sorry, my notes are not as neatly organized as I usually have them. So, right, when we talk about Birchas Kohanim, and there's an unmistakable connection, right? Ya'er panavitanu, yivarchenu, v'yichvachenu. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Listen to the Netziv in Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, right? That same word of Ya'er. Says the Netziv, this is on his commentary on Birchas Kohanim, Hainu, what does it mean that Hashem should Ya'er, that Hashem should shine his countenance on us? Ya'er panav, what does that mean? Again, we say these words in English, but if you think about it, we don't really understand what they mean. So what does that mean, Ya'er panav? Says in Netziv, Hainu, shehakol yiru, she'alecha zoreach Hashem. It means that everybody should see that Hashem is shining his countenance on you, that Hashem is manifesting divine providence on you. V'lo shezeu hatzlachas hamazal. And that every success that you have is not simply random, and it's not simply happenstance. It's not simply, oh, you have good mazel, but it's actually the result of the providence of Hashem. Hainu, hashkachato ke'ein lashon ufanis aleichem. Right, when we speak about Hashem turning his face to us, what it really means is Hashem's hashkacha. Hashem is showing his providence on us. And what does that mean then in the language of Ya'er? That it's a Hashem shown it, Hashem enlightened it. Says the Netziv, Yeshu Mushkach Me'akadosh Baruch Hu, Aval Einu Nikar. There are people that have Hashem in their lives, that they experience that divine providence, but they don't realize it. And if you don't realize it, says the Netziv, In Kein Hashkacha Shelo Ba'ora. In other words, the Hashkacha is there, but there's no light on it. It's not shining. Because you don't know about it, what can't I do? If I don't know about it, I can't tell other people about it as well. So it's only when I recognize Hashem's hand in my life that I can then go and share that with other people. Says the Netziv, Aval Kasher HaKol Makirim Hashkachas Hashem. When everyone recognizes the Hashkacha of Hashem, He Matzlachaso, in that is the source of my success, Mikri Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha. Wow. That's an amazing Netziv. It was worth the price of admission to this shir just for that Netziv, I promise you. Right? What the Netziv tells us is when we say Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha, Hashem, can you shine your countenance down on me? Says the Netziv, it's a little more complicated. You see, Hashem is oftentimes showering us with bracha and with hatzlacha. What's the only difference? The only difference is, do you and I recognize it? Right? The only difference whether it's Ya'er, whether it's shining, or whether it's hidden, is me. Right? I determine whether other people become aware of Hashem's hand in my life. I determine whether other people become aware of Hashem's involvement in the world. Whether it's Ya'er, or as the Netziv says, whether it's Shelo Ba'ora, in other words, there's no light on it, is not dependent on Hashem. Hashem is constant. Hashem is always shining us with bracha and showering us with hatzlacha and with hashkacha pratis. Right? The only difference is, do other people become aware of it? And that is dependent on me. If I recognize Hashem's role in my life, then it's truly Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha. Then it's Ya'er Panavitanu. Right? Then it's Hashem shining His countenance on me. If I ignore Hashem's role in my life, if I'm oblivious to the role that Hashem plays in this world, then it's Shelo Ba'ora. It's still there, but there's no light on it. So, as opposed to what we normally think of, that Berchas Kohanim is a passive experience. Hashem, you give the bracha, Kohanim put their hands up, John Doe, little Yisrael Moskowitz, all I have to do is sit there, and bada bing, bada boom, I get the bracha, says the Netziv, not so fast. Whether it's Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha or not is dependent on me. Right? And what is it dependent on? Do I recognize Hashem's hand in my life? Do I recognize that Hashem controls everything? Now, why am I sharing that with you? Because that is the key to everything. When we think about Sfiras Omer, again, we read this every night, the Kabbalists say. Rav Chaim Vital says, you have to read this every night. And he says, the reason why you read this every night is, if you look at it, there are 7 psukim. And there are 49 words in the pasuk, in the Perek of Tehillim. And if you look at that middle pasuk, right, I'll bring it up on my screen again. But if you look at that middle pasuk of Yismichu V'Yiranenu, there are 49 letters in that pasuk. 7, 49, 49. That's all Sfiras HaOmer. That's exactly what. So says Rav Chaim Vital, you're supposed to say this every night with Sfiras HaOmer, but it's a lot deeper than just the number 7 and 49 and some random coincidences. You see, listen to what the Sefer HaChinuch says is the whole point of the Korban Omer. Right? Of course, we count the Omer, but originally, the Omer was a Korban that was brought. And it was brought between Pesach and Shavuos, which of course was the harvest season. If you were a farmer, this time of the year was the most anxious time of the year because you simply did not know whether you would have food to put on your table or not. You did not know what your crops would look like. And so there were two things that could have happened, right? Either you could have had a successful crop, a successful harvest, in which case you would say, hey, Moskowitz did a good job. It's all about me. Or you were simply just anxious because you didn't know whether your efforts would bear the fruit that you were so dependent on. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, words that are unbelievable. He says, Mishar Shea Mitzvah, the reason why we have this notion of Korban Omer, again, which we model counting the Omer after. Kedeshin is bonin mitocha maisa chesed agadol sheosa Hashem baruch hu im briyosav lechadish lem shana shana tvuah lemechia. It's to show hakaras hatov to Hashem that every single year He provides sustenance to us. Right, sviras omer, the korban omer, is our way of thanking Hashem that there's food on our table. Lachain, and therefore says this, the Sefer HaChinuch. Ro'i lanu shenakriv lo baruchu mimenu l'man nizkor chasto v'tuvo hagadol terem ne'ne mimenu. Before we benefit from the food, before we enjoy the produce and the fruits and the vegetables that Hashem gifted us, we first have to recognize that it all comes from Hashem. We first have to recognize Hashem's role in the agricultural process. It's no different, my friends, than a bracha before that you and I say before eating an apple or before having our coffee. That we cannot benefit from this world before showing gratitude to Hashem. Okay, so far so good. Continues the Sefer HaChinuch. Unbelievable. He says, Mitoch Shania Ru'uyin Lebracha Behechsher Masei Lefanav, that because we were Ru'uyin Lebracha, which means that we became ro'i for the bracha, we became worthy of the bracha, tidbarech tvuaseinu, then Hashem will give us more bracha. Think about those words. In other words, if we recognize that Hashem is the source of all of our brachas, then we become worthy of more bracha. It's only when we recognize that everything comes from Hashem that Hashem wants to actually shower us with more and more bracha. Hashem just wants to do good to us. Hashem created the world. He didn't need me. He didn't need you. He didn't need Ariel Moskowitz and Philip Moskowitz and Moshe. He didn't need any of us. Hashem created this world so that you and I can enjoy it. But He asks one thing and one thing only. He says, I just want you to appreciate what I give you. I just want you to recognize my hand in the world. And even though I'm hidden, as we've discussed in the past, the word olam is from the word ha'elem, which means hidden, because God is hidden in the world. He makes it hard for us to find Him. Hashem says to us, despite the fact that I'm hidden, all I ask is that you recognize me. All I ask is that you recognize my hand in the creation of your agriculture, in your fruits, in your vegetable, in your success. And says the Sefer HaChinuch, these are the most amazing words. The more you and I recognize Hashem's hand in our lives, the more Hashem will shower us with bracha. Those are not my words. That's not some Hasidish Rebbe. That's not some great Kabbalist. This is the Sefer HaChinuch in a book of mitzvos. He says that the more you and I recognize Hashem's brachos that He gives us, the more we view the world as a glass half full and not half empty, the more we wake up every morning and say, Zokef Kifufim, you know what, Hashem, I might not, I can stand up this morning. In Pokeh, I can open my eyes. And I can breathe, right? The fact that Hashem showered us with all those brachas, the more we recognize those and thank Hashem for those, even the snap of a pickle, Sarah Newcomb, right? Even if we recognize the crunch of a pickle, the more we recognize the brachos of Hashem, the more Hashem will shower us with brachos. That, to me, is what this Parakat Tehillim is all about. Because if you combine the Sefer HaChinuch with the Netziv, right, what did the Netziv tell us? Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. That Hashem is always showing our providence. Hashem is always giving us brachas. The only difference is, do we recognize it? In which case, we then spread it to the world around us. We are the Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. It's like radiating from us. Or is it, as the Netziv says, shelo ba'ora? No one's going to know about it. No one's going to see it. No one's going to appreciate it. And so when you look at this Parak of Tehillim, and you think of these words, let's bring up the Parakat Tehillim again. When you look at the Parakat Tehillim, and you think of these words, right now let's read them back. Elohim yichanenu vivarchenu. We say, Hashem, give us bracha. Bestow us with kindness. Ya'er panavitanu. In other words, Hashem, let us be that conduit. Let us recognize and appreciate the brachas that you give. And once you and I appreciate the brachas that Hashem gives, Ladas ba'aretz darkecha b'chol goyim yishuasecha. Then everyone else will know about it as well. Yoducha amim Elohim, yoducha amim kulam. And then everyone's going to thank you, Hashem. Yismechu v'yiranenu l'umim. Everyone's going to be rejoicing and singing and happy because they're going to realize that you rewarded those who had faith in you. Right? Eretz nasna yivula. Hashem, we daven that your land should produce produce. Yivarchenu Hashem, give us bracha. V'yir'u oso kol afsei aretz. Because the first step is that you and I have to recognize Hashem's hand in the world. And only when you and I recognize Hashem's hand in the world, then we can radiate it to the world around us. Then we can be the conduit through which Hashem expresses himself in his greatness to the world around us. Now here's an amazing idea. Here's an amazing idea. It's found in the Malbim. If you look in the Koren Tehillim as well, my mom pointed this out for me. Shout out to my mom. But if you look in the Koren Tehillim, Dr. Zvi Hirsch Weinreb points this out as well, and it fits beautifully into everything we're talking about right now. Says the Malbim, if you notice, there are various descriptions that are used for the nations of the world. First, they're known as Goyim, then as Amim, and lastly, in Pasuk 5, they are as Le'umim. Right? Again, let's get this image up again, because this is the key image. Right? Le'umim. So we have Goyim in Pasuk 3, Amim in Pasuk 4, and Le'umim in Pasuk 5. What is the difference between them? Now, obviously, Le'umim has to be the highest of those levels, because whatever is going to be in the center of this menorah has to be the climactic description. Says the Malbim something amazing. Each one of these descriptions represents a different kind of person in this world. He says a goyim, a goy, is the lowest level. In other words, it's someone who barely recognizes God in this world. But then he says, when it comes to amim in le'umim, he says yesh hevdel bein amim ubein le'umim. There is a difference between an am and a le'umim. She le'umim heim eila sheyesh lem das miyuchad. Whereas amim simply recognize Hashem, right? Le'umim have a das miyuchad. They have an extra capacity. They have an extra capability. And what is that? Vehem yismichu v'yiranenu. They will rejoice and they will shout out, right? Says the Malbim, v'yisapru b'farhesia. They will share it b'farhesia. They will tell the world about it. What is the difference between goyim, amim, and le'umim? Do they have the verbiage? Do they have the language to be able to describe Hashem to the world around them? Right? At the beginning of the Perek Tehillim, we only describe the goyim. In other words, they see God, but they're not able to verbalize it. They're not able to capture it. They're not able to tell other people about it. Then we come to the amim. And the Amim have a slight capacity, but it's still very limited. The ultimate capacity is Yismichu v'yiranenu le'umim, are those who don't just recognize Hashem in this world, but are able to, v'yisapru b'farhesia. They are able to tell everyone far and wide, scream it from a mountaintop, scream it from the top of the building. That is, ultimately, what our job becomes through this Perek of Tehillim. What we're essentially telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Hashem, give us the bracha. Give us the blessing in our lives. And it's not just that, Hashem. But it now becomes incumbent upon us. It's our job to recognize the bracha and to share it with everyone else. We have to tell the world the story of God. We have to not be afraid to talk about Hashem, and to talk about the miracles of Hashem, and to talk about the role that Hashem plays in our lives, because that is our job, that is our responsibility, and that is how we bring the geula. That is ultimately our responsibility. That's what Sfiras Omer is. The Korban Omer was our way of recognizing Hashem's role in the agricultural cycle. It was our way of recognizing Hashem's role in our lives, and by doing Sfiras Omer, by counting the Omer, we're doing that every single night. Every single night, we are reminding ourselves of Hashem's role in our lives. And when we do that, we're fulfilling the mandate of this chapter of Tehillim. That when Hashem gives us bracha, it's our job to share the bracha with others. It's our job to tell the world about the greatest being ever, none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Hashem bestows upon us kindness and bounty and blessing. Through it, the world is supposed to recognize Hashem, but it's us who form that link. It's us who are the manifestation of Hashem's brachos in this world. And the more we tell the world about it, the more we are yisapru b'farhesia, the more we are not embarrassed and abashed to share the story of Hashem and His miracles and His kindness and His greatness, the more ya'er Hashem panav elecha, the more Hashem will want to give us bracha. The more we recognize the bracha, the more Hashem showers us with that bracha. Now, all of that explains, and I think somewhat deeper terms than we normally discuss in this class, but all of that explains Sfiras Omer. We understand the chapter of Tehillim now. What about the menorah? Right? Obviously, the menorah is central to this. So many of the sources that we saw highlighted that you should see this parak of Tehillim through the image of a menorah. And of course, as I pointed out, the whole reason why you're seeing it through the image of the menorah is because you want that middle pasuk. That middle pasuk of Yismichu v'yiranenu le'umim, that reminder of the Malbim of Yisapru Farhesia. We have to tell the story publicly. That's our job. That's our mandate. What's the menorah? So if you look at the menorah in the Torah, Rashi is very clear that there are three wicks on one side, three candles on the other side, and they were each directed where? They were each directed to the middle. They were each directed to the middle. Says the Sfas Emes something amazing about this imagery of the menorah. Says the Sfas Emes in Parshas Baaloscha, Ki bechol davar yesh nekuda chiyus me Hashem Yisbarach. In everything in this world, there is an element of holiness. There is an element of godliness. Rak she'akol taloi be'avodas ha'adam le'orer hislavas. It's dependent on us to bring out that holiness. It's dependent on us to recognize that holiness. Ki bevadai kol inyanei olam hazeh l'chvodo bara. Of course, everything in this world was created for the greatness of Hashem, to give kavod to Hashem. The more you and I recognize that it's all from Hashem, so we direct everything in this world towards Hashem. And that's why it says the Sfas Emes, if you look at the image of a menorah, the image of everything coming back to the center, what that represents is, and again, we can get into different terms, whether it represents seven different types of wisdom, whether it just represents the different aspects of our lives, the ultimate goal is that all of it is centered around the one in the middle. In this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That every single aspect of our lives is directed towards Yismichu v'yiranenu le'umim, so that I could tell the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so even if I might go to work and go to the gym and I might have different aspects of my life, really it's all centered around that middle stem of the menorah representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we're allowed to have diversity to our lives. We're exposed to exist and thrive in this world, but only in as much as we stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In and as much as it's always directed back to the center, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our job in this world. Our job in this world is to be in the world and to experience the world, but to do it by bringing out the Kedusha of everything, by sharing the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect and in everything that we are engaged in and in everything that we participate in. And so truly everything is coming toward the center. You have three on one side, three on the other side, and everything comes to the center because that is our lives. Our lives is that no matter where we are, right, left, center, it doesn't matter. It's always drawn back to the middle. Everything has holiness in it. Our job is to simply bring out that holiness. The menorah is the hidden light in everything. It's seeing the Kedusha in everything and in anything. And our job is to bring that out. We have to tell the story of the hidden God in this world. We have to reveal Hashem in this world. And by doing so, we fulfill Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. So that's the menorah. The menorah is reminding us that everything comes back to the center. right? There's a beautiful idea, Rav Huttner has this, that there's a reason, you'll notice some people when they say Kriyat Shema, they say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and they elongate the letter, the word Echad. Now there's a halachic reason for that. We want to make sure that we say Echad and not a different word. But says Rav Huttner, there's a beautiful homiletic interpretation of that also. That the reason why we elongate the word Echad is to remind ourselves that while we might have a lot of parts to our lives, parents, spouse, child, work, gym, right? We have a lot of parts to our lives. All of it at the end of the day needs to be subsumed under the banner of Echad. That if you and I are not in this world for one reason and one reason only, we're missing it. And that is to serve Hashem and to worship Hashem and to tell the story of Hashem. So that even when I'm at the gym, I'm thinking of Echad, I'm thinking of Hashem. And if I'm at Publix or the Grove, I'm thinking about Echad. That is not different from my Avodat Hashem. That is part of my Avodat Hashem. That is my mission. That is my mandate. That is why Hashem has me in this world. It's not so that I can just be and exist, but it's for Echad. It's that everything that I do can come back to that center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can come back to the source, can come back to the core of everything. And so this, to me, is what makes this chapter of Tehillim such a skula. It's a skula for Parnassa. It's a skula for good health. It's a skula for Hatzlacha. All these things we saw at the beginning. It's a skula for protection from evil doing. Why? What made this chapter of Tehillim so incredible? What's the connection to Sfiras HaOmer? What's the connection to the menorah? It's all one and the same. And at the core, it's very simple. It's about recognizing Hashem's hand in our lives. It's about asking Hashem for bracha. It's about promising Hashem that if you give us the bracha, then what? Ya'er panav itanu. What is itanu? Itanu means that we're a part of it. Itanu, like with us. Hashem, ya'er panav itanu. Do it. Radiate yourself with us, Hashem. Let us be your partners in telling your story to the world around us. And if we put in our work, right, again, the whole Perek Tehillim starts with us. We have to first put in the work of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, of recognizing the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and by us initiating that process. Think about the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. The more we recognize the brachos of Hashem, the more brachos Hashem will give us. Think about as a parent. Right, if you make dinner for your child and your child comes to the table and gobbles it down, gets up and goes back to his video games, are you going to want to make a nice dinner the next night? Nah. You're going to say, the kid doesn't appreciate dinner. I'll throw some Wacky Mac at them. What do I need to make myself crazy for? But if you come to the dinner table and your child sits down and says, wow, mom, dad, this is amazing. This must take me. I really appreciate everything. And the child goes on and on. I couldn't thank you enough, mom. This is amazing. Everything you did. You must have been so busy today. I know how hard it is. So the next day when you're sitting there and you're like, should I put up Wacky Mac today? No, you're going to say to yourself, Wacky Mac? I can't make Wacky Mac for my child. They're going to be so... They were so appreciative yesterday. It's worth the effort that I'm going to put in because I know they'll be appreciative today. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us is. Hashem gives us brachas. He makes us an enormous dinner every night. And if you and I come to the table and simply gobble it up, we simply exist in this world and we take and we take and we take, and at the end of the day we just go back to sleep, Hashem's going to say, they don't even appreciate what I did. I'm not going to give them more. They don't appreciate it. But if you and I come every single day and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, thank you so much. Thank you for all the brachas. Thank you that my eyes are working and my legs are working and my heart is working and that there's food on my table and a roof over my head. Right? Thank you, Hashem. Hashem's going to say, you know what? That Moskowitz kid, he's really appreciative. Not only is he appreciative about it, but he's not afraid to talk about it. Remember, think about those words of the Malbim. Via Sapru Befarhesia. Don't be afraid to talk about it. That's our job. Yismichu V'yirananu Le'umim. The highest level are those who are willing to tell the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be not afraid to talk about Hashem with our children and our grandchildren and our spouses and our friends. Don't be afraid. That's what you and I are here for. You and I are here to to be a magnifier, right? We're supposed to magnify God in this world. We're supposed to be a loudspeaker coming up to the rooftop and saying, guys, wake up, snap out of it. Don't you realize that God's involved, that there's Hashem, that he loves us, that he cares about us, that he's involved with us? That is the ultimate segula. So when we talk about this being a segula for parnasa and protection, by the way, I even forgot to tell you that according to the Sfarim, this is what was on David's Magen David. Right? When we talk about a Magen David, the shield of David, the Meforshim explained that this Parakatilim was on David's Magen. It wasn't just a star. This Parakatilim was on his Magen. Why? See, like any segula, segulas don't happen when I sit back, kick up my feet and say, Hashem, you know, I put a key in my challah. Can you give me parnasa? No, it's a lot harder than that. Right? This parakatilim is a skula. But only if you realize what the parakatilim is about. And it starts with us. We have to put in the effort. We have to double down and reinforce over and over again the awareness of Hashem in this world. The ability to see Hashem's hand, his guidance, his providence in our lives. And if we do that, yes, then this parakatilim is an enormous skula. But what's the skula? The skula is that when we appreciate Hashem's dinner, he's going to give us more the next night. The skula is that when we appreciate Hashem's brachas, he's going to give us more brachas in the future, as the Sefer HaChinuch articulated. And so what I tried to share with you today, I want to share is one more idea, because I was thinking about this. For those of you who are on the chat I did with the three soldiers in Israel on Tuesday, if not, you can find it on my Facebook page, but Shoshana Galish made an amazing comment at the end. I asked them, I said, do you want to share one last idea with American Jewry? Shoshana Galish said, you know, joining the army, many people think it's hard, you're a hero. She goes, for me, it was so simple. Hashem gave me so many gifts, and I couldn't comprehend not sharing those gifts with Israel. I couldn't comprehend not sharing those gifts with the people of Israel. And I thought of that, I said, Shoshana, you hit the nail on the head. That's our job in this world. Hashem gave us gifts. Hashem gave every single one of us gifts and brachos and talents and abilities. All he wants is v'yisapru b'farhesya. He wants us to tell his story. He wants us to use those gifts and to share with others, to lessen the pain of others, to uplift others, to inspire others. That's our job. We're not just here as dead weight. God didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, it's June 23rd, 1981, let me create Phil Moskowitz. No! God said, there's a role in this world that needs to be filled. I'm creating Gavriel Pinchas Moskowitz because I want him to fill that role. I'm here for a reason. And I might not always feel, and some days it's easier to feel, and some days it's harder to feel, but that's what you and I need to wake up every morning and go to sleep every night realizing that we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. We're here on a mission from Hashem, and that is Yismichu v'iraninu le'umim v'yisapru b'farhesya, to recognize Hashem in this world, and ultimately to tell his story. Everyone have a wonderful day. I hope I was able to provide a little bit of meaning to a very difficult, in many ways, chapter of Tehillim, and Be'ezras Hashem, please God, all of us will merit the skulas.